Hey guys, I'm Lizzie Raven.
And I'm Judy Swartz.
And welcome
to Why We Left.
Slay. Hey guys, we have a new guest on the podcast today. This is Ben Graber. Ben, say hi.
Hello.
This is Tina and Keturah's dad, actually. I'm really excited to have him on.
Same.
It's just very... I don't know if precious is the right word, I think. Just to know that there are dads out there who really, like, genuinely want to protect their daughters. And it's just, it's incredible to see.
And he's one of them.
He is. Yeah. So I'm really excited. Ben, do you want to, like, share why you wanted to be on the podcast today?
Yeah. So first of all, I would like to say that there's a lot of dads that want to protect their daughters, but don't know how.
Right.
And so I'm still learning, by the way. So if I say anything on this podcast that sounds like arrogant or whatever, I'm still learning. And I believe that the Spirit of God helps us with that. You know, there's often things that there's no way we could have all the answers for every situation
that
we get into, whether it's business or meeting a stranger or whatever it might be. So to start this out with, you know, I want a little disclaimer there that I'm still learning, but also sharing some things in confidence that I have learned.
Right.
And with our Anabaptist backgrounds, there was some things that are not ideal. If everything was ideal, you know, this podcast wouldn't even be happening.
Yes, you know what? That's true.
So true.
You know, God would have never had to send Jesus on the cross if we weren't a broken people. So there's a reason for everything. I don't think we should just stand by and allow people to be hurt or misused when I say that.
Right.
I also think of the fruits of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I think a lot of those words, we know what they mean. A temperance is a word like a lot of people maybe read across and don't understand that it means self-control. And I often think about cheap grace. The world is full of cheap grace. And I've probably been too easy on some of that. Like if somebody would just tell me sorry, I would just like never hold them accountable or whatever. And I hope I've changed in that way, because we're really not loving properly when we don't hold someone accountable.
You know, that's true. That's something that I'm just realizing myself in the last couple years.
Yeah, with like, if you're in like a sister's group or ladies or men helping each other, you know, if someone confesses a fault and you just like, oh, it's okay, you know, and don't, that's not really love. Like that's, you know, that's a burden that they have. And to help people, we should be a little bit more diligent with that, I think.
Especially involved in like actual sin.
Absolutely.
You know? That's something that they need to bring to God so they can get relief from it and they can get forgiveness for it.
Exactly.
So when you hold them accountable, then they're able to do that, to take it
to
God.
The truth in love, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Establishing a truth sometimes was one of the hardest things for me as a dad to do. So as we go through this, we'll talk more about some of that. You know, I also think of the word repent. It means to change your mind, to have a change of heart that involves turning away from sin and seeking to honor God. It's more than just saying sorry. It's a rearrangement of how a person thinks and feels and acts. To say that we repent, like I've been a little bit, some people maybe not like this, but a sorry without change really isn't a sorry.
Yes.
You know, like we really, and I believe that we need to live that way to in our relationship with God, first of all. Like it's a hypocrite to not do that myself and ask you to do it, you know?
Absolutely.
Sorry without change. I was learning some things in business to trust someone but verify. You know, it's okay to, if you're helping someone that's tempted to lie, it's okay to verify things, you know?
Right.
Just don't give them too much free rope.
Yeah.
But I would be ready, I think, to, you know, to educate a dad in my position is my sincere prayer, and every situation is different, but it has really, really been a bright picture in my mind to know what a dad can, when he says and does things, how it affects the family.
Right. Yeah.
And I get a little teary eyed when I think of that, because I haven't always done that right. And by the grace of God, my children have forgiven me for those things, and we've worked through a lot of things, but it's been a learning. You know, I had like one person in my life that gave me good advice and I ignored it.
Well,
while the 99 others gave me bad advice and I took that. And so we'll talk more about some of that. But I think that's the bulk of it that I wanted to share before we get started with questions.
Yep. Well, you know what? I really admire that you're willing to admit that you haven't always been the best dad and that you're willing to learn and grow from that. Like, that's amazing. That's really all we can do, you know?
It
mistakes
is.
Mistakes are going to happen. Yeah. But it's how you work through them and how you change after them that really matters.
Yeah, I think of Jesus, you know, when he said that he would put his sin, our sins as far as the east is from the west, that it was sins that we're willing to acknowledge, things that we are willing to acknowledge that are wrong.
Right.
You know, we just kind of think they're wrong, or, oh, it wasn't maybe the best decision, but it's okay. You know, a lot of times those sins kind of follow us around.
Yeah.
Or when we're just blatantly dishonest, like some of the experiences we've had.
Yeah.
Where they have lied to ministers and elders and people that maybe they weren't doing everything right, but they were wanting truth and they didn't get it, you know.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the discernment it took to figure out how to handle some of that.
Yeah. Ben, are you ready to dive into the questions?
I think so.
Okay. So normally we start out, because most of the guests we have on the podcast are, you know, come from Mennonite Amish background.
Mm-hmm.
One came from the Baptist.
My husband, yes.
Yeah, Judy's husband. So
okay.
This is the question that we always ask. So how has growing up Amish, did you grow up Amish or Mennonite?
Amish.
Amish. So how did that affect you negatively and positively?
So positively, you know, like there was, we homeschool, so I say that.
Same.
And, you know, and not everybody needs to homeschool, but
right.
I learned more. Some of my early childhood memories of wrongdoings or things that I've learned that little boys shouldn't learn from a bunch of friends were at an Amish school, you know, and it's not
right.
anyone's fault, but when you put, the reason we homeschool is you put a bunch of children together. We had 20, there was 25 students in my grade.
And wow.
We had one teacher, and our teachers did a really good job. When I look back, I don't want to be harsh on those teachers at all, because yeah. I can't imagine that. Nowadays, if they have 10 or 12 students, they want a helper, you know. But anyway,
yeah, right.
Growing up in an Amish school, we had a lot of good memories, but I learned a lot of bad things early mm-hmm. in my life mm-hmm. from those settings, probably because of a lack of just our parents not teaching us, you know,
yeah.
and so we go out to discover on our own. And that's the very wrong way to learn.
Well, I think that most parents think if they don't talk about that stuff, it's kind of sheltering you,
mm-hmm.
but it's really not. Like it just,
right.
yeah. Because kids are curious if they, I mean, they're going to find out one way or another.
Right.
It's more of a thrill when they know it's something that they're not supposed to talk about.
Curiosity, the saying says curiosity killed the cat, right?
Yeah.
There's something about curiosity that is kind of like our nature, especially, you know, pre-Jesus nature. It's something about that. I don't know what it is either. It's the nature from Adam. That's what it is.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, another thing in those years of young Amish boy was the taxi drivers. And yeah, the taxi drivers. We had this one guy that he would molest little boys. Like he would.
Oh, wow.
And it was bad. He loved it in his pickup truck when the dad would have his boys scoot in beside him. And the dad was sitting right there. The guy was, I mean, he was a creep to no end. But
that's
I think
horrifying.
By the grace of God, it didn't. I don't know that there was a lot of harm done, but I wonder mm-hmm. where the dads were, you know, like how did
yeah.
the dad not see this? The guy was very filthy minded.
Yeah.
He would say the crudest, rudest jokes in front of us as children. So I would like to think that our culture has come to a little bit more light since those days. I'm 50 years old, so we're talking about 45
yeah.
years ago. I would hope there's no dads that allow that kind of talk and behavior. You
right.
know, like it should have been a very bright sign. Like this guy might not be safe around,
right.
you know, whether it's boys or girls or whatever. He was just a creep. But anyway, that was a really bad memory of along with some others. There's a lot of bad things especially with the boys, like
yeah.
some influences, some of the pornography and all that kind of stuff came through some of those people.
Wow, that's.
And the dads are in the living room having a good old visit, you know, and have no idea that this driver's sitting out there in a van contaminating their children on their way.
Man. Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, I think that they refuse to see. I feel like there would have been signs and things that said like, hey, like this guy isn't safe, but they don't want to believe it.
Nice guy, or that's what we'd hear him say, yeah. You know, oh, he didn't mean that, or he didn't.
Like, he's just really friendly. Like, no, he's not really friendly. He's a creep. And you should, you know, acknowledge that and keep him away from your kids. But yeah, it's just a matter of them being entirely too trusting.
Yeah, I'm glad there's like more awareness now.
Yeah,
and I do think that I want to first, you know, say that it's by God's grace. Like, there's a lot of things that I was like exposed to, but I never really went into it and experimented like some boys did. And so I was always grateful for that. And I don't know why, you know, I was protected. Sometimes I ask God today, yeah, like, why did you protect me and not others? You know, sometimes I feel bad that happened.
Yeah, I'm glad too.
Well, I'm happy that you didn't.
I am too. Yeah, some boys.
You should never.
Go ahead.
You should never feel guilty or any certain way about that. Like, just because like it's not what happened to. Like, even your daughters, I don't think that you can believe that it was your fault. Yeah, you know what I mean? I don't think that you should hold yourself accountable for that. And it would make me really sad if you did, because men like that are very sneaky. They know how to get away with things. They know how to hide it. So, yeah, like I said, you should never feel like it. So what it sounds like to me is you feel almost guilty that it didn't, you know, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. You know, the positive things is like a lot of things that we learned of just daily life was good, you know, and working hard and knowing how to work when we often didn't have a lot of money, but we always had plenty of food. And I experienced, you know, how people treated us with when you didn't have a lot of money. That's kind of we won't go into that, but it's kind of a crazy like, I was pretty amazed sometimes as a child, you know. There was a guy one day that told my dad, he said, if you don't have money, what are you worth? And my dad owed him money. It wasn't, you know, and the guy was super mad.
Right.
But I was just like, wow, you know, did he hear what he just said?
Nice.
And that was probably even before I would have been considered myself a born again Christian. I was like, that was a shocker for me.
Right.
But anyway, we weren't the Joneses. But that's how it was. If you know what I mean by that, right?
100%. Do you want to speak a little bit on how it affected you negatively? Or did you already cover everything?
I think I covered some of that, but it's hard to know. Like, that's a big question, you know?
Yeah. It's a very big question.
I would say again that by the grace of God, I did go into some of those sins that were, I look back and it was like really close a couple of times. And, you know, once you start with those type of sexual immorality, that's a mind thing that goes very, very deep. And we'll talk more about that, but that's a deeper, you know, from a girl's side versus a boy's side. And I know that it seems to be a little more prominent when the boys, like boys tend to go down that road a little quicker, even though I do believe it could be both, sides. But yeah, I'm just thankful that not worse things happened in my childhood.
Right.
Well, and also once you head down that road, it's a hard one to break. You know, it's exactly like you said, it's a very mental thing. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's, like, I know from experience, at least, like...
You encouraged me a little bit ago, but know your value. Know who you are. You're a child of God.
Oh,
I feel encouraged.
That's some good words right there. I think that's going in a quote on our Instagram.
And it doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means that you have committed to following him the rest of your life.
Right. And God's going to help you with it.
Amen.
Yeah. So I have a little bit of a question. This is also something I usually ask people on the podcast, but... Do you think that, like, growing up Amish affected your view of God at all?
I mean, I think it probably did. I mean, it's hard to, you know, I've been told that people that come from a country or whatever, they can sit down or give you a little test of how you view God, and they can tell whether you were raised in a Amish
Oh, wow.
Mennonite setting versus, you know, and I feel bad because my mom doesn't live anymore, but she would often say, well, you'd have rather grew up Amish than you did just out, you know, in a trailer court someplace. And that was kind of a tough question to answer. Like you don't get the option to be raised both places, so you don't know.
Right. Yeah.
I know that both places can be, you can be protected by God, and you can also be, there can be a lot of sin, hidden sin. And
Yeah.
hidden sin, I believe, is what God hates.
Right.
But our mindsets were definitely like, you know, it's harder to accept help. It's harder to accept even saying sorry.
Yeah.
Like in our culture, a lot of times, or I love you, or a hug, or those
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
things, I think have affected me, probably still do. Like I've made verbal commitments to my son-in-laws and people that, you know, when they come, I want to hug them, and sometimes it's easier not to. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's just a weird thing. So I think those are negative things. Other groups of people, like I have a friend that's Greek, and I mean, like they hug everybody, you know, and I
Yeah.
wouldn't want it to be more that way. So
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. I
in
feel
a
like
pure and holy way, you know, I could say
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I feel like that's something that I observed a lot growing up, especially in my family. Like there's just not a lot of emotion that's shown. And which I grew up Mennonite, not Amish, but it's almost like it's you're not supposed to show emotion.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've definitely heard people say that like feelings are not from God, which is not true. But some people believe that emotions are not godly.
Well, and especially angry emotions,
Yeah.
they think that that's very sinful, and I don't
Right.
understand that. Like God gets angry, you know?
Absolutely.
Like I'm like getting angry in my house, you would get spanked. Like you don't get mad, you don't,
Right.
you know, and if you do get mad, you hold it in until it explodes, and then you get a spanking. Like it's very, very unhealthy.
Yeah.
I don't understand the
I don't understand the
yeah
block there. Yeah.
Well,
Yeah, I don't understand the thought process with that.
see, we live in a society that is like if we go to McDonald's and we have to wait too long in line, people get upset. And we live in a society that everything is just like right now. And
Right.
so if we do have a child or someone that's angry, we should figure out why that's happening, not try to squash the emotion, but try to figure out why that emotion is showing
Yeah.
itself, you
Right.
know. And we would learn, but you know, it takes time.
Yeah.
And I still struggle with that. Like it's easier to tell one of my children just sit down and be quiet than it is to sit down and have a visit and figure out what's really happening.
Yeah. Dude, I
So,
love that. I love what you said. Like, find out why they're angry and where the
right.
anger is coming from.
Take a bit.
I see so many parents, and in my own parents, you know, like if your kid's doing something you don't like, you just like yell at them or spank them or like send them into their room. And it doesn't help the kid any. So yeah, I love that you're willing to sit down with your kid and work through it. That's amazing.
I think the thing that I like the most about you, Ben, is the way that I don't know if it's gonna offend you, but you've not always been the kind of father you are. Like, I'm not saying you were a bad father, but you've not always been as maybe open-minded, should I say?
Absolutely. Yes.
And I love that you were able to recognize that and you were able to change. And I think that's beautiful. And there are not a,
Right.
yeah, I don't, I've said
That's
this
a big
probably,
deal.
but it just doesn't happen like that, especially not with men who grew up in that culture. They believe what they believe and you will not change their minds. So I just, again.
We applaud you.
Yeah, well, change, you know, it's not easy to change.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, some people say, I've heard these arguments. Some people say, you know, I've been this way for 40 years and I've not changed. And they almost make that sound like a holy thing.
Yes, they take pride in it.
Yeah, but I look at it like, you know, if Jesus Christ is truly living in my heart and he's showing me things and I'm not changing, you know, I see like the word repent that we read earlier, you know, the meaning of repent is to change.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to change our way of thinking often because our way of thinking is not God's way of thinking so many times.
Yeah.
And we need to be willing to compare our way of thinking through the word, to God's way of thinking.
Right. Absolutely. I love that. That was a lot of wisdom you just dropped on us.
So how old do you think you were, Ben, when you got saved?
I was like 30 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. My wife and I were married with 5 children.
I mean, were you, because I know that it's not very, but you were baptized, you just weren't saved, right?
Yeah, so I would have been baptized, I would call it a non-biblical baptism.
Yeah.
It was a baptism into the Amish church. And again, if someone Amish hears us talk, I don't want to like make anyone bitter, mm-hmm. but just as an education thing, anytime you have a baptism and they combine, they get you committed into following their rules along with the baptism, I would say run.
Yeah,
run.
Absolutely.
Because you're getting baptized into a certain sect of things. You're not getting baptized. And some of them argument, well, our principles are based off of the word of God, but there's so many things that are not, they're like man's interpretations of God's word. And yeah. they're not solid word of God. And it puts people right. in a cage. And when we left the Amish church, we were told that we are breaking our vows that we promised when we were baptized. That was one of the big things. But to truly be baptized, like I think of Philip baptizing the eunuch there, you know, he baptized him and he blessed him and he sent him on his way.
Right.
And I feel like that's what I want to do. You know, I want to bless people and send them on their way. I don't want to like make them follow my rules or my thinking the rest of their life, or they're not a Christian.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, I love that. I mean, in the Bible, when Jesus said to baptize people, it was supposed to be a confirmation of them being saved and starting a relationship with God.
Yeah. It almost like a public declaration like
this. Amen. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't supposed to be a thing of
this. Oh, this is what saves.
Now you're a part of this church, yeah. and you get to like follow all these rules.
Exactly.
That is not.
Do
you have any other questions for Beth?
I have tons of questions.
We might not get through them all.
Okay. So when did you kind of like realize that you needed to remove yourself from that culture? Like, what was the deciding point of like, hey, I need to go and take my family?
The deception was one of the biggest things that. And again, I can't say that I was perfect with, you know, never telling a lie or
right.
or maybe more in a way of hiding things from the church. But I felt like my mom was often that way. She just said, I don't see how people can sleep at night doing those things.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuck with me.
Right.
But, and, you know, that could lead to our later conversation, too, of how we treat our children, our daughters, if we believe their stories in the little comments that we make. They stick with people and with our children a long time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
As a parent, you might have not even realized what you said, but mm-hmm. you said it because that's what's in your heart.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, that's something I remember from my mom just saying, how can people sleep at night? But, you know, this might be a little bit of a little bit comical, but maybe not, you know, but like the church that I was in, it, you know, a lot of people. So, right. you know, 20 years ago is when the cell phones kind of hit the market. Maybe a little longer yeah. than that, but they came into the Amish church, and the bishop, the church that we were into, the bishop, we were in his church. He was not going to tolerate cell phones. And so they would skip communion. They wouldn't allow anybody to have communion. They would just skip communion. Every 6 months was the practice. So they skip it. And finally he had to kind of face this thing. So one Sunday, I still remember where we were, and we were at one of Amy's cousins out in his shed for church, and he had everybody that had a cell phone go out.
Oh, wow.
Supposedly, right? But about 10 or 12 of us went out, and people, you know, somebody later said, why didn't you call them? But some of the people stayed in there, and I had their phone number.
What?
You know what I'm saying? So I was probably a little angry, but there was a lot of men that stayed in that room that day. And I went out because I felt like, hey, I have a phone. I'm going to go out. That's what he asked
me. Right. Right.
And not that that made me a better person, but just for the sake of story, I went out. And so later, you know, they have us come in and they still had no resolution. I don't remember the details. But so we all had lunch together afterwards. And so I happened to sit beside my cousin that I had his phone number and he stayed inside. And I just railed on him. And everybody's like, oh my word, what's going on here, you know? And I was just like, how yeah. can you do this? And he sat there like a lump on the log and never uttered a word, which maybe was a good thing. But today he's an Amish minister, you know?
Right.
Stayed in that system. And I don't know if he made those things right or not. But that was one of the things that There was so many more stories like that that I realized that this is not what I want to for my life or my wife and children. You know, it's like it was just, again, there's a lot of good people there. It's just kind of sad when I think of
that. Yeah. 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 I see what you mean when you say like deception now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's almost like the better liar you were, the better Amishman you could be or something.
That is exactly what I was about to say.
Kind of harsh, so I'm sorry if that sounds wrong, but it's just how it felt.
I agree with you 100%. Like, I know, like, my mom and dad, they did. I'm not trying to bring this on me, but like, my mom and dad they had, like, you know, cell phones, blah, 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 all this stuff. And they were held, like, pretty low on the bar. Like, do you know what I mean by that?
They're not good Amish.
They're not the,
they got cell phones.
They're not the good kinds of Amish.
That's why.
But then some of the people that I know that are, like, you know, way on top, and like everybody looks up to them and they want to be, you know, and they did the same things that mom and dad did, just nobody found out about it. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not a difference in like, they have
better, the better you could lie, you were rewarded for it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, it's absolutely sickening to think about. It's sickening.
Right.
Like, I don't know a single Amish person that doesn't do something that they're not supposed to.
A little cute little story I experienced with my own children is I got mad at my son one day, and I was with a brother, like there was another guy from our church that was out front, and all of a sudden I had this, and this sounds like a little simple little story, but all of a sudden I thought, what if he heard me? Because like a fear of man, it was probably a thing that you learn about religion a lot. And I remember it was just when I started my Christian life, and I thought, you know, God heard me. Like, why am I worried about the guy out front? You know, God heard us. And I often tell my children those stories. They can fool, you know, my children can fool me. I'm just an earthly dad. They're not going to fool God.
Right.
And I believe if we don't have that, we need to have that concept correct. It really helps our children.
Yeah, I love that. I have another question for you. Are you ready for another one?
Okay. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. If, you know, you don't say everything you want to say today, we'll do it next.
I know this is a big one. How were you treated when you left the Amish culture? Like, what was the Amish Mennonite? You were charity at one point too, right?
Yeah, that is a big one. I think I'm to the place where I can share these experiences with a pure heart. Not very long ago, I would have probably been a little bit bitter about it. So when we were pushed out of the Amish, like, it was pretty simple. Like, we got, I mean, I sincerely, one night, I confessed all my sins that I thought would follow me all the way to my death. And I always hoped that I could maybe share them with somebody right before I died. And I don't know if anybody really taught me that, but that was just a desire I had in my heart. And there was an Amishman that died from cancer just down the road from us. And he had a born-again experience, I believe, before he died. And when people would come to visit him, he would preach the gospel to them.
Oh, and this was an Amish man?
Yeah. And he died in good standings with the church. And I started looking at that. And I thought, I, by the grace of God, am not going to wait until I have a terminal illness to start preaching the word and being able to share my faith with other people. And I remember sharing that with my brother one day. I thought, everybody was okay with it when he shared it. But we need to share it now. Like, we don't know, not everybody dies from a terminal illness and has six months to die or prepare to die. There's a lot of people, I think majority of the people actually, die a fast, swift death, or like my mother-in-law recently just passed away in her sleep, you know. We need to be right with God now. And that was something, when I started questioning that, when you start shining a light in dark places, you get...
Oh, yeah.
The worms and the gnats and stuff start climbing out. You get all kinds of funny looking critters come out. Yeah. You know, like our desire when we left the Amish was not to go get a car. That wasn't the reason we left. We truly felt like God was leading us a different direction. And I remember one morning, on a Saturday morning, very early, the ministers came to see me and I had just gotten up and they drove in and I had very few words to say. They told me that they considered me dangerous to have around, and that my faith, they call it the Nyagalava, a new belief, you know, that I had a new belief, and they felt like until I, they were going to excommunicate me the next Sunday or 2 weeks or something.
hold up. They were going to do all this because you started reading the Bible and, like, telling people about it?
Well, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, you're not allowed to know, you know, one of the big differences between, you said your husband's from the Baptist setting.
Yeah.
Like, we were not allowed to, you heard about being born again, but when you said, I am born again, there was a huge problem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember my cousins, my cousins started checking it out and they got rebaptized, and that was the biggest scandal in our family. Mm-hmm. And I was on mom and dad's side because, you know, I didn't know any different. I was like, right. How dare they do this, you know?
Right.
How dare they? It's so crazy to see, like, with a fresh pair of eyes. Like, that is actually, like, it's insane. But isn't it the most sinking feeling when you see those black buggies coming up the lane and you just know.
Yeah.
You just know what's about to happen.
It sounds like a little experience there, too.
They had actually waited quite a while before they came. We were actually not attending church for a little while. And so it was kind of a blessing that there was no argument or anything. You know,
yeah.
Like, they just told me what they were going to say. And I was still like, I thought, man, if I'd have been, according to what they had caught me at, I'd have been maybe a little bit argumentative, or I'd have said things I wish later I wouldn't have said.
Right.
And I think, you know, both of those men neither one of them live anymore today.
Right.
But they thought they were doing like Saul in the Bible before he was converted and,
yes.
and he was Paul, he was killing Christians and he thought he was doing God a favor.
Yeah. Right.
And so deception can be pretty deep sometimes. But I would say that when we got pushed away from the Mennonites, it was a lot
harder. Yeah.
Because my heart was really crushed then.
I believe it.
And, like, I was crushed to the point where the one guy, the one family, they would invite us over fairly often. And they just all of a sudden quit. Like, they wrote us a letter, so I kind of knew, but they just quit. Like, they quit even though we're going to the same church, they just kind of quit fellowshipping with us. And so I actually asked him one day, and he told me, yeah, well, you know, the way you're dressing and different things, I just don't want my children around your children. And so those were harder because I do believe that there was more light, you know, there was more light then. And so you expect more.
Right.
And there was several scenarios like that where and I know there's probably what people listen to this podcast say, well, yeah, you did this and this and this. Don't be surprised, you know. But
right.
At the time we got pushed away, we weren't dressing differently. You know, I think I believed different than a lot of them did. I didn't. Like, you don't, if you love people because they do everything just like you do, it's going to fail. You can't just
it's
love.
Not really love.
Yeah, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's conditional love.
It's very conditional. You said the word. Yeah. Conditional love. You know, and I questioned the children did go to school for a time, and they gave so many awards out for the best student and the best, the highest grades and the most tests, the highest scores and all those kind of things. Even getting right down to, like, they didn't call it the teacher's pet, but it was another word for it, you know. And I sat beside, there was a young boy there that was challenged mentally.
Right.
And he sat there the whole night and never got a single reward.
That's so sad.
And
that poor little kid.
And the dad talked to me later. The dad was tragically killed in an accident, so he doesn't live anymore. I got a glimpse of how God looks at that. But, you know, God is a father, right?
Yeah.
God is our father. And a father's love is something that is special. And this dad said, you know, I don't know what's wrong with this system, but something's seriously wrong with it. He said, I bet my son studied more hours and worried more about those tests than some of those children that got straight A's.
Right.
And there was not, it's just the word conditional made me think of it, Lizzie. But if we love conditionally, that's not what the word of God teaches us to do.
Right. I mean, maybe this is extreme, but I hold the opinion that unless it is unconditional, it's not love. Because God is love. If people have to be a certain way for you to love them, that's not love. Because that's not how God loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And God is love, you know? You can't have love without God, and you can't have God without love, you know?
Yeah.
I've spoke to someone about this whole thing. Someone who holds a very different opinion than we do. And I said, like, just because somebody doesn't dress the way you want or something, like, you're going to just push them away because of that. And he said, it's not that we don't love them. We do love them. We just have to hold them at a distance so they don't, like, get to our children that we also love. So, and to me, like, that's also just
the lack of confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're... It's like, if you believe that your way is the correct way, right? You believe that you're doing everything perfectly, whatever. Teach your children, you know, teach your children what you believe. But I mean, if it's such a perfect way to live, I don't think that.
Yeah, I hear you, Lizzie. You know, there was this old preacher one time. He was actually in the charity circles, you know. And what I'm blessed by is I believe that God has given me good experience in every setting I've been in.
Yeah.
And I believe he wants me to learn from those things and teach others. And I want to do that more. But there was this guy that he said that the church should be more like Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the church that he was preaching in that day actually became kind of what he was preaching against. It was kind of a prophetic word. It's kind of crazy. But at the time that he was preaching this, there was like a lot of new members coming in. A lot mm-hmm. of people have left the Amish and they were coming into this. It was the charity circle. And so he was feeling really good about this, you know. And
right.
whether he had all the right spirit or not, but I felt like the truth that he taught was that he said the Church of Jesus Christ should be more like the USA and not like Mexico. He said people should be climbing the walls to get in.
Yeah.
Not climbing the walls to get out.
Mic drop. That is beautiful. I love that so much.
Yeah.
Ben Graber, you just went off a little bit and I am shook. That was amazing.
Think about that. And what's beautiful about that is we can gauge ourselves with that all the time. Like, I think, you know, if we're always just judging the other person, it's not the greatest thing. But we need to look at our, you know, it's okay. I don't think we need to be like hard on ourselves, but it's okay to reflect on things, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, with grace in our hearts. And so that always has intrigued me. And I'm amazed at how many churches that I was forced out and the door was locked in front of me since then. And some of that, I realized that I maybe wasn't always the nicest guy, but I had some serious questions. And I tell you, I had mm-hmm. questions that they couldn't answer. And this preacher was preaching one day, and he was saying that he's so grieved how the people, the children of God, and he was talking about me, and it was very obvious. And he was saying how they have turned around like dogs and they're eating their own vomit. Like they've gone back into sin. They've gone back into sin, you know what I'm saying? And there's a Bible verse that talks about how a dog will eat its own vomit. And I didn't study up on that, but it's kind of like let's say a person would come out from a really dark life and they would live a clean life for a while and they would turn around and go back. And God, Jesus actually made that parable of like they turn around and they'll go eat that vomit again. Pretty gross, right?
Right.
I believe sin is that. Sin is gross. Like,
right.
And as we go on here, we're going to talk about some gross things. But when that man preached that about me, I didn't feel like I was, first of all, if you have a problem with a brother, go talk to him. Don't preach about it.
Yes.
If you're ever in a church where they preach about people, again, I say run. That happens so many times. I could feel it. Like, I knew who they were. Go ahead.
Did he look at you when he was
not
preaching?
Really, but him and I were really close at one time, and I knew what he said.
Yeah. They like to pull that move where they'll do a whole sermon and just be looking at you.
Yeah, and so I went up to him afterward, and all I told him, as I said, let's just make sure that we're not the reason that people are turning to their vomit.
Wow, look at you go.
It was the very last time I spoke to him to this day. He's younger than I am, and he's never talked to me again. Those kind of things are more painful. Like, I think if we have a good relationship with someone, isn't it worth fighting for a little bit?
Absolutely, yes.
If I preach wrongly or share wrongly, wouldn't I say, what are you talking about? What did I do? You know, but no, he was totally fine with that. Like, it was just like, no, you're on your way out and I don't really care.
Yeah. It's just heartbreaking to me that these people were able to just throw away a relationship with you.
I want to say something. Like, this thing that Amish people are so good at that. It doesn't even bother them. It's the craziest thing to me. They can put out their own family and not feel bad about it. Cause this is what the church wants me to do. Oh, I mean, maybe the church wants you to do that, but I mean,
God doesn't want you to.
So well that's not what God wants from you.
Amen.
Like, it's so crazy to me how easy it is for them.
Like, we could forsake family for what, worrying about what people think of us.
Absolutely.
That it's reputation. Yeah, it's a reputation, you know. And but right. Lizzie, one thing, like, I agree with you, like, what you're saying. But I'm trying to think, you're 20 and I'm 50, roughly. You know, that 30-year difference in age, I don't think that they really desire to do that, but they're just kind of caught in a trap. Well, and if there's just one dad that could hear what I'm saying, you know, right. And just say, that is not God's heart, that you turn your back on your daughter so you can keep a reputation in your community.
Right.
That is, you know, and Jesus taught about that often. He said that they're more worried about their reputation than they are about following God.
Right.
That was a popular problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Right. And do you ever think about it, that the only time Jesus ever got angry in the New Testament was at these religious leaders that were pushing their own agenda and their own rules rather than God? Only time Jesus ever got angry.
Yeah. What would we think if Jesus would, John the Baptist, I mean, he set him straight, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with you. Like, I have caused distance between me and people probably by talking about that.
Yeah.
And I just never want to, if someone comes to me with a serious issue or a complaint, I want to try to listen, you know, because I believe that if we don't listen, we can't really help. And listening is it's a gift that requires patience and practice.
Yeah.
I've not always done it right, you know.
Right.
But in Matthew, I think it is, Matthew 3, verse 5, it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? And then he tells them in verse 8, produce fruit and repent is what he tells them. Go produce repentance, you know.
That's some strong language.
And he says, do not think of yourselves as Abraham's children, but and just think you're in. Oh, and how often does that happen where if we're raised or whatever, we just think if we're part of that church or part of whatever, we're in. And that's not, we're not in by any other, what would you call it, a club, you know?
Yeah.
We don't get
you have to personally repent and change.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
In a personal relationship with Jesus.
Right.
It's not that hard, really.
Right. I mean, who wouldn't want to have the Holy Spirit living in you, helping you every day?
Amen.
It's wonderful.
And I think that just being able to, the other week, I was feeling kind of depressed and stuff. And I called one of my friends and I was like, hey, like, I've been feeling weird. Like, can I come over? It was Keturah. I was like, can I come over? And we can pray together, whatever. I don't even know if she wants me to share this, but but I went over there and we just prayed together. Like, you could just feel him, whatever. She had said that she was feeling depressed too. And like, after we prayed, we both felt much better. And it's just like, why wouldn't you want that in your life? Like, why wouldn't you want to just be able to talk to him and feel better almost instantly?
Yeah, and he wants to help us with every little thing, even when it's things that we don't think are spiritual.
Yeah.
Like,
right? Yeah.
I'm a little more organized now than I was, but when we first started the business, I would feel like I needed to be like 15 places at once. And
yeah.
It was very like if you could keep your head right and remember everything you need to do and remember that when you leave home to load the right things and load the right tools and do everything, you could actually kind of keep up. But if you would just forget the smallest thing, whether it was a saw or a tool you needed for that specialty job, you was a half hour away, and all of a sudden you realize you didn't have that. Or that job's not happening today.
Yeah.
But I remember often just praying for God's grace and his give me clarity of mind and how I remember one time when I was going to unhook a trailer. And it was just like God is saying, no, you need that today. But I couldn't remember what I needed it for. So I just left it hooked up. You know, four jobs later, I needed that trailer. And those are just little things.
Right.
That is available. It's available for each one of us.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm not a special believer. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's available for each one of us. And I have learned to just despise I call them arrogant testimonies of people that make themselves look special because God answered their prayer so well. And it gives someone that's young and maybe just became a believer, like they can never obtain. So if anything I share, like it can be obtained by a day-old Christian.
Having that close personal relationship with them is amazing. It's just like, I have a friend there with me all the time. And all I need to do is talk to him. And he's going to be there. And it's just...
I love hearing you guys talk about, like, having a relationship with God. Because I feel like when I first got saved, I didn't really know that you get saved and you start this amazing, beautiful, personal relationship with God. To me, it was just like, I'm going to get saved so that I can go to heaven and so that I can... God will help me stop sinning. And that's all it was to me. I didn't know that there was so much more to be had and that God was just going to be do so much, so much more.
There's more, right?
Helping me keep from sinning.
It fulfills you. Not only, it's not just like I'm going to pray to him. I'm going to read my Bible and then I'm going to go to heaven. No, you're on this earth and you don't realize what you didn't have until you have it. It's incredible, just mind-blowing what all even in the couple days that I felt so close to him, I've already felt different and like much happier and much more fulfilled. And it's just
that's beautiful. You share that wherever you go, Lizzie. If you are in the middle of an aisle at Walmart, just tell them.
Should I start yelling, hey guys, listen to me? I'm not, but we'll see. I think you'll help me get over my stage fright or something, maybe, I don't know.
The word of his testimony, he talks about the word of your testimony, that it helps others.
Okay, I have, so we've had Keturah and Tina on this podcast before, and they opened up about the abuse that they went through, kind of with your nephews, and just stuff, it's terrible, you know, like,
right.
And so I have a question, so how was standing up for your daughters and like others, so you've even stood up for me, like how is that standing up for people who have been abused by James and Chris Allen, how's it affected the way people treat you? Like,
that's maybe a two-part question for me. So the first part is like, the one thing I kind of wanted to, and again, I felt like, you know, I had a friend one time that said, take the low road, and different things that he told me.
What did he mean by that? Take the low road.
Well, he would say, instead of going into a meeting and think you have all the answers, even though you may have all the answers, listen first. Now, that doesn't mean a coward, okay?
Right.
And so I guess what I wanted to say with that thought is, I was a coward at first. Had I not been a coward, there would be a lot of girls that would have not been hurt. And I don't beat myself up for that, but I do recognize it, and I do want to use that platform to share with others.
Yeah.
You know, one of my nephews, and I'm very conscious that there's going to be haters on this podcast listening to this, condemning us, and I love them. I do. Even though they think that I hate them, I don't.
Right.
And I have a text I want to read that's kind of brings reality to some of that. But this is a very weighty thing. And I ran from that whole thing. When I first learned about it, I thought there has to be some way that they just get their hands slapped a little bit and that they could just quit.
Right.
And there were older men, and this is, I'm going to put it just a little bit harsh. There were older men that were in those meetings that knew better.
Oh, yeah.
And they did not help me when I needed help. I was so vulnerable and I didn't know what needed to be done. And there was one guy, remember earlier I talked about that one guy that said, Ben, you need to call 911.
Yeah.
It's Mel and Barbie Esch from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome.
Mel said, Ben, if you don't call 911 and let the law handle this, this thing will just keep going and going and going.
Right.
And I am very grieved to say that I disobeyed what he had to say. I listened to the men that was around me that wanted to shove this under the rug. And we're not going to meet Jesus on Judgment Day and blame our mistakes on other people. So I take full accountability for that, because in my heart, when he said that, I knew he was right.
Yeah.
And I did not want to. I put my head in the sand. That's what I did.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just wanted to say that I was a coward, okay? I wanted to, so if there's a dad that hears this and he's been a coward, it's okay. But don't be a coward tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And
that's really powerful.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I mean, at the time, like, to some extent, you were doing what you thought was best, you know?
Well,
like,
and you were being influenced.
You were being heavily influenced by other people.
But I was heavily influenced. Yeah.
You have 10, 15 men around you saying, this is the right thing to do. And then you have one man saying, no, do this.
Right.
Even though, like, you might have known which was the right path. I mean, it's hard. It's so hard to not be influenced by that. Like it's one of the most difficult things to to ignore, you know, and just
absolutely
do what you think is right.
So yeah, I just love that you can see where you went wrong,
yes,
or whatever. But yet now today you're choosing to do the right thing, and you're choosing to support your daughters, and you're choosing I feel like I'm repeating myself here, but I love that you are willing to change and you see what you've done wrong and you've admitted it and you're letting God change you into something, doing things better. You know, that's amazing.
And I, you know, I humbly say thank you, but I also, and I think that's kind of a cultural thing. We're not good at accepting compliments sometimes.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. But however, you know, and I know you know this, and you know, just for the listeners, like, to God be the glory, right? I mean, that's,
yeah,
if there's any good thing. But how, when I stood up, like there was a, I remember this one conversation that lasted about 2 hours. And so my brother was good friends with this family, and I was fairly good friends with this family. And so I was really, like, concerned for how my brother and how this was all going to go down when we finally came to the point where we were going to call 911, or maybe at that point we had already reported it. And I want to come back to a lot more of there. But so I called this guy and I said, you know, my brother's going to need your support, like, support their family. Like, my goal here is not to destroy them, but my goal is to end this evil thing to help these young men so they don't keep hurting other people. And everybody always thought that we were just fantasizing this thing, and that we were fabricating things, and we were making it worse than what it was. And
that's crazy.
I'm telling you, you know, as a dad out there, if your daughter ever comes to say things like that, you better listen.
Absolutely.
In your place as a father, my place as a father is to support the vulnerable. And where have we gone wrong with that? I will never understand.
Right.
But, you know, just recently, there's a neighbor not too far from us. And I knew this young man. And I don't know what all happened. I don't want to be too harsh. But he kind of lost his mind. And he tried to commit suicide 4 or 5 years ago. That's the first they noticed that. He's been on medication and things. But recently, he was chasing his dad around the house with a butcher knife.
Wow.
And an upstanding Christian family in our community. I'll give, you know, whatever. I don't know, like, I don't know the details. There's a lot of pain there, I'm sure.
Right.
But, you know, they had no problem calling 911 and reporting that to the law.
Right.
But I'm probably just a little bit bitter about this. But when I called 911, I got treated like a heathen.
Right. Like,
and when, it's so when you, wrong.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We, you know, why is one, yeah, so one was running around with a butcher knife, and the other one was running around very immorally, you know, to say it kindly.
Well, to be more exact, ruining kids' lives.
Right.
Assaulting. Absolutely. Actually, assaulting underage children, and I get pushed out of my community. I lost all my friends, lose just about everybody that I know. Because I called 911, and then the other guy can call the police on his son, and he gets a bunch of brothers hugging him and saying, I'm so sorry this happened.
Yeah.
But
wow.
It is so screwed up that I can't be silent anymore.
Absolutely.
I know exactly.
Yes.
The wise judge, and I'm going to read a text in a little bit that I've just been praying all afternoon whether I was going to read it or not. Just, I read it myself, and I just about can't believe that I have this text. But the first thing that a wise judge needs to be, and I will hold my entire community responsible for this, There is just about no one. Maybe a couple. I want to be careful because sometimes we forget when people are kind and we years go by.
Yeah.
There were people that cared and didn't know how to help maybe. But
right.
For the most part, they never wanted to hear both sides of the story. When we would start speaking the gross things that happened, they would start talking about how we need to forgive.
Wow.
You know,
no mention of prosecuting the men responsible.
Instantly, they would start talking about forgiving.
Right.
And the one young man, Chris Allen to be exact, was in Davis County molesting a girl. At the same time, he was sitting there saying he was sorry. We tracked down the dates and the times. And God knows how many other girls were hurt at that same time.
Right.
I'm sorry, but that is not loving our enemies to allow those kind of things to go on.
Right.
Everybody says, well, you have to love your enemies. That is, loving your enemies is in a church setting where you have differences in opinions, which they don't practice, by the way.
Right.
How many churches don't practice that? They don't practice loving their enemies in the church when you have differences in opinions. I mean, where is there a group of people, except for the Anabaptist background, that have split more churches and have messed up more churches? We all know those people. They look so holy and so right, and they dress to the T, and they go around just destroying churches because of their strong opinions that are not biblically based.
And I mean, you know from experience, because you were pushed out of a church and, you know, people saying that
multiple times,
you know,
So how can somebody, you know, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, the Bible says. And he listened to those two women that once killed the other one's baby.
Oh, yes.
Or laid on her own baby and tried to claim the other. And, you know, and he said he listened to both of those women. There is no way that he could have heard or he could have made a wise decision without listening to both of those women.
Yeah.
But he knew pretty quickly when he asked them, well, we'll just cut the child in half.
Yeah.
And the real mother said, oh, no, just give the child to her.
Right.
But he listened to both sides of the story. And I am so amazed. Like, sometimes I have to, like, pinch myself to realize how many people just condemn and accuse and say how wrong I am and will not sit down and talk to me. They will not sit down and talk to me.
Yeah, like just condemn you without listening to your story.
They will call my employees and rant on my employee. This just happened.
What?
How wrong their boss is. But they won't. They have my phone number. I've made sure of it. But they won't call me. And I have a little bit of a hard time loving them because it's like they are being a bunch of cowards and they will not face the facts.
Yeah.
They will not face the facts. And I have this text. And, you know, I always say word gets around.
Yeah.
But I want to lovingly hold this man accountable. And he's the only one that'll know who it is. And I'm making myself a little bit vulnerable here, too.
Yeah.
I think he got a little carried away here. But we were discussing this thing. And this sin, to give my nephews a little bit of grace here, this sin goes back another generation.
Right.
And they had a family member that was abusing them as little children.
Wow.
And if somebody wants to know more about it, they can reach out to me. But this man that I'm talking to had a daughter abused by that family member. So he knows what I'm talking about, but he thinks about it so differently. And I beg dads not to do this. But he wanted to know what kind of things happen. And I said rape, sex, and intercourse. I was very blunt.
Yeah.
And he said, probably what I'm going to say will create enemies the rest of my life. But why did your girls have shorts and miniskirts on at grandma's funeral? What does the Bible say about the person that is the tempter? Bad results come from this, and innocent people have to suffer.
Okay. Is he trying to imply that the people who did the assaulting are the victims? They are the innocents who have to suffer?
I am so sad to say, but I think that's what he meant.
Oh my goodness.
It grieves my heart.
Well, that's absolutely not true. Yeah.
Wow. And he's a smart, very intelligent guy, and I have looked up to him for years. Like, he's not a dummy. How can we get that messed up that he thinks that the innocent people suffer? And he says, think your things through. And he accused me of not being a good dad. I'm going to skip that part.
Well, he was wrong. Very wrong. He was wrong. You're a good dad, for sure.
And he says that, you can text me back and insult me with whatever you want to, but this laid on my heart. for several days, and I decided I had to put it out. My response to him, and again I say by the grace of God, I said, I have no desire to insult you. I appreciate you and am thankful for all the things that you've done for my dad and my father-in-law. And I said, I would love to sit and talk with you sometime. And that has been a month ago.
Wow.
And there's been zero response.
Yeah, that was a very gracious response on your end.
Because I would so desire, in my heart, I feel like if he would just know the truth.
Right.
He would think differently. But I don't know if he does, but they hate the truth. I guess I have to accept right. that. Like I'm not going to go there and just spill this stuff all out because they instantly say, oh, you just have hatred in your heart, you know.
Right.
If they don't want to know and they don't come to me and ask, then I'm not going to go push it down their throat. Because no good will come from
that. Yeah. Yeah. It almost seems like there's some people that are intentionally choosing not to find out the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not being truth seekers. They're not.
Yeah. Even as I read this, it caused me to like go in a shell for like a half a day after I got there. I just couldn't quite believe that the tempter here is the bad person. So, and I have several scriptures I think of, and one I think of is the story about David and Bathsheba.
Right.
Can anybody read anywhere that God punished Bathsheba?
Right. You know, that's true.
I don't think the man is accountable. And I tell men, you know, I tell men all the time, I say, where are your eyes and where are your minds and what are you thinking upon that it's so much focus? How can you be judging these women to figure out if they're modest or not? Like,
right.
Go ahead.
You were on a roll there. Keep going.
Whatever we watch is where our minds are. And right. If somebody proves me wrong, I'm willing to be wrong. But I'm a roofer. I look at roofs. I notice roofs when I don't even mean to notice roofs.
Yeah.
And maybe that sounds dumb to some people, but like today I went to my realtor's his office and I noticed that he needed a new roof. And I wasn't there trying to sell him a roof, but their roof had issues.
Yeah.
And I said, did you know your roof has got some serious issues that you're building? It's the plywood's getting wet. Oh, no, I didn't know that. You can come check it out. But I notice roofs. What if my mind... What if I'm always worried about the women around me to see if they're modest? Where is my mind going to be? And I preach that from the house roofs. Like men everywhere need to repent. It is happening. It's such a bright thing in our societies. How often has a man wrote me letters and things? I have accused him of it. I told one man, I said, how can you sit there and worship after you notice these things that he's telling me about?
Right.
And he said, well, to be honest, I can't. And I said, well, thank you for being honest.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And he was complaining how the women were dressed at church. And they were dressed in sackcloth and ashes. I mean, they were not, this is like in a charity setting.
Right.
And they were still not happy.
Wow.
You know, like, what do they, it's my problem. It is, when am I going to stand up as a man and say, this is my problem, and I need to deal with it and repent.
I love what you're saying right now.
I agree 100%. I think that if a grown man can look at a child and notice what she's wearing and notice if it's modest or not, you need help. You need a therapist. You need to go to a doctor. You need to do something. Something's not right. You're not okay. I'm assuming that he was referring to the whole situation with James and Chris Allen when he said the innocent are getting.
Yeah.
I would like to say something about that. So when all of that happened, almost all of the girls that they abused were children. And he's saying that we were dressed immodestly as children. Like, I don't think he can possibly understand what he said. He can't know what he's saying. If he did,
No child brings this on themselves.
It doesn't even hurt my heart. It hurts my heart for... Does he have children, that guy?
Yes. Yeah, he has children and grandchildren.
See, that absolutely shatters my heart.
And he's a good guy in a lot of ways, but somehow that thinking, I guess I just can't agree with it, you know? And we can't... If we try to change other people's minds, we're never going to... will be very miserable. Mm-hmm. I've come to peace. Like, you know what? If they think different, I just can't be like, that's not my fellowship because I
right.
severely disagree, you know. Yeah. And I found this quote a couple of days ago. It says, the wise come to know their own inner conflicts, while the unwise keep insisting that all the trouble is the fault of others. It's yes. It's Michael Mead, as a saying from Michael Mead. We can never blame. I don't understand. Like, I had, like, man, some of this stuff is harsh, you know. But I had an older guy that was actually a school teacher, and he was complaining about how ladies dress. And I said, if your peace comes from women covering themselves up with a blanket, what do you do when you go to Walmart and you're out in town shopping? What do you do? And he said, well, I at least like to have a little bit of rest when I go to church.
Wow.
So,
oh, I mean, no, stop right now. That's crazy behavior.
But he was sincerely telling me this. Like, it is, and I would just again say, anybody listening to this, if that's where your focus is, I know how you can get help. Right. Like, Jesus did not give his life on the cross. So we as men need to go around lusting after our women, trying to figure out how to suffocate it.
Yeah.
There is freedom from that. And I love the testimony of one of the old, I don't know if it was that Edwards guy, one of the old evangelists in early American history, but he was witnessing to a lady that was not decently dressed. And there were some people that saw that and they were concerned. And you know what happened to Jesus too, when he was talking to the lady, that woman at the well?
Yeah.
His disciples were disgusted that he would be talking to a Samaritan woman.
Right.
He was the scum of the earth. You know, and I will hang out with the scum of the earth if that's what they want to call them. That's
right.
That is awesome. Okay. And maybe it sounds a little mocking, but that's okay. Like,
right.
The religious and the people that have all their ducks in a row. And I mean, I'm just lucky if I have them in the same pond, you know, and if they have all their ducks in a row and they think that I'm the scum of the earth, I'll hang out with the people who Jesus hung out with. If
right.
I'm not condoning their sins and I'm not sinning with them. But I am nice to them, and I am offering them a helping hand.
Right. Well, because
I want to make that clear.
That's awesome. And that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus calls us to do.
But this evangelist, when they confronted him about talking to this lady, he said, I didn't notice. What were you looking at? He said, all I saw was the hurt in her eyes.
That's amazing. That's how it's supposed to be.
That is a high standard, and that's what I seek for every day. Like, you know, like just Sunday, we stopped at a Dollar General and my wife and I went in and bought a few things and we tried to talk to this lady and some little kid was just in there and had stole some candy and she was a little upset. But I tried to gently talk to her and the pain in that woman's eyes was unbelievable. Like, I still remember the pain. She had dark circles in her eyes and she had so much pain. It's like a little bit unusual. You can often see people are hurting from something, but this lady was hurting so badly. She could hardly do her job. I didn't even know. I kind of feel like I missed out an opportunity to just pray for her out loud right there, which you'd be surprised if you just say, hey, can I pray for you? You know,
yeah.
You don't have to pray for anything. It's a simple way just to bless and bring a spiritual, you know, the spirit of the enemy, the spirit of darkness. I mean, it's people just walk down an aisle and look at naughty pictures on magazines, you know, and there's a spirit of darkness and the devil that comes upon them. But God's spirit is stronger. I mean, like, God's spirit is like the Pharaoh turned his staff into a snake, just like Moses. Moses and Aaron turned their staff into a snake. But Moses' staff, snake, ate the other one, devoured it. That's the power of God that we have.
Oh, yeah. You know?
We don't need to be sitting around. Jesus did not die on a cross so we could be lukewarm, mediocre Christians and put up with all this garbage. Like we don't need to be walking around thinking, poke my eyes out so I don't notice women, you know?
Right.
Like, right. Heaven forbid. That is not what God has for us. And we've come to accept that as a, I don't know, I could go on and on, but maybe we should go to the next one.
I love that.
I think that you've just said some really powerful and good things and like things that I've wanted to put into words, but I wasn't able to.
So. Yeah. You put things into words so well.
Yeah.
I struggle. I struggle sometimes with putting things into words that I'm trying to say.
So,
but anyway.
There is a church leader, I think they call him, Ron Miller. You know who I'm talking about?
I do.
Okay. I have a question about that situation. So I've been told that Ron Miller said that, Ron Miller, yes, that's his name. I forget every now and then, but I've been told that he kind of tried to convince you not to turn. Is that what you were talking about earlier?
I was, yeah.
Okay.
You mean he was like trying to convince them not to turn James and Chris Allen in?
Since his name came up, he's a young father. Or not so young anymore. But I always like to apply things that I want to say to my own life first. And so if I could caution us as right here in this little group to not be afraid to ask people for advice and listen to people around us quicker, we can be spared from a lot of trouble. Like I remember buying a truck one time and the guy said, somebody told me not to buy it. I disobeyed and I went and bought it. And I was driving down the road very shortly after and the whole thing blew up. It was a crazy... It was the biggest pile of junk I ever, but that's just a little funny story about a bigger picture of,
right.
Like, if we become leaders in our home, leaders of a church, it does not mean that we have all the answers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So many leaders fall, like, not to turn this into a political thing, but I love Donald Trump. And, but like right now, he is establishing his cabinet and all the people that are going to help him. And he's doing it a lot better than he did the first time he was president, because there was too many deceivers hiding underneath rocks.
Right.
When you turn the rocks over and the worms crawl out, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But hypocrites is what they were. They called themselves Republicans, but they weren't. And so when you think of that, how he surrounded himself, like he is not the all in all. Like he is not but he's surrounding himself with people that help him make good decisions. And you learn that as a business leader too. You recognize your weaknesses and say, I am not good at this. I need to find somebody that's really good at this. I am not good with social media, so I get my daughter to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so many dads and so many leaders think that if they don't have all the answers, they're not a good leader or whatever. But if Ron listens to this, you know, I would just like to say, lovingly say, that he tried. And what's kind of sad about it is I think he went down the wrong path on that whole situation.
Right.
And I think he knew better too.
Yeah.
And I think if you was to talk to him today, he would probably recognize that. Like he was more concerned about keeping peace. But again, there was so much deception.
Right.
There's so much deception. I mean, when you have a pathological liar, if I said that word right.
Yeah, you did.
Sitting in front of you, raping someone from 5 hours away, and sitting there saying how sorry he is, with tears running down his face. That is pretty hard to discern something.
Yeah,
I agree.
That is pretty hard. So I just give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Like I feel like what I would like to say from now on is, like, I want to tell you that story about work a little bit, but I felt like there was three men that were acting inappropriately to one of our other female employees.
Right.
And I stood up at a meeting, and it was a little bit, I make my children and people kind of nervous sometimes. They was a little nervous. But I, that morning, coming to work, God just said, Ben, you know the truth, and you know the truth will set people free. So why are you worried about the truth, you know? In that meeting, I said, I laid out the plan that if I find out that if anybody as much as touched somebody, and yes, if people are, I've been ridiculed for this, we'll come back to this, but if you touch my daughter inappropriately, anyone, I will call 911. That's what I will do.
Mm-hmm.
And I told these men, I said, this girl is not my daughter, but she's, I am, as a leader, I'm called to protect her, and that I will call 911 before I interview them and ask for excuses. Like,
right.
I don't want any excuses. You guys are grown men, and I will not hesitate. And you know, all three of those men,
I love that,
just don't work here anymore. I didn't fire them. They found their own back door. And I don't think we realize how powerful that is, that when we stand on the word of God and we say that the law is for the lawless, God ordained the law in our land for the lawless. If you can't figure out how to have temperance and have self-control, and if you can't keep your pants on around little girls, then that is what they make penitentiaries for.
Right.
And I will not apologize to anyone.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yep. We agree.
There is a penitentiary in Florida, Tallahassee, Florida, that is full of those men that have committed those crimes. And I'm involved with a group of people. There is repentance. It is not that bad. But just talk to a convict Saturday night, and he got to the point where he said, lock me up. And these men that have caused these things, they need to quit making excuses. They need to quit hiding and quit running and quit lying and say, lock me up. And then I will know that they are really sorry for what they did, because that is what the law says. And this man said, lock me up. And he spent 2 years in prison and went through a program with Teen Challenge and is now a minister in Fort Wayne. He has a church. That's a beautiful story.
That's the power of God.
It is. Just because I called 911 and report these things, I am not taking anyone else's faults for anything. If people can't understand it, they are always welcome to come talk to me. I would never run anybody off. And but I will not tolerate those kind of behaviors anymore. Like, I can't say it loud enough. Like us as dads, we need to repent from being a bunch of cowards, and we need to stand up for these innocent young children. And one of the things that we skipped across earlier, one of these boys was in a relationship and was engaged to get married.
Wow.
And he was engaged to get married, and this girl was lived an hour away. And we did not warn this girl of what kind of guy she was planning to get married to. And I was troubled. Like, I prayed and prayed. I'm like, what? This girl was probably one of the nicest young ladies. I mean, she's just a fine young lady, okay?
Right.
And I was caught between, like, warning her and being hated by my family, or not warning her and allowing her to go into a relationship that was going to be like hell on earth.
Is this the guy that I remember when Keturah was on the podcast? She said Chris Allen was engaged to somebody at one point, and
that's Keturah correct.
Actually went to her and told her what he did.
And so he cheated with her. He was having a sexual relationship with another married woman from Fort Wayne. And she ended up feeling, she's an interesting lady to begin with. Mm-hmm. She sent us all the text messages and like the nude pictures they were sharing and all this stuff. And so we went, and I forget exactly how this all went down, but so the girl was warned, and we became the very, very bad people over that. But the girl actually came to us and said, you knew all these things the whole while we were dating, and you never said anything.
Wow.
If you want to bring a dad to his knees, I knew these things.
Right.
And I didn't mean to. Like, I want peace with my family in a bad way if I could. But I can't have peace with my family for the sake of innocent girls getting hurt.
Right.
You know, and I know.
When you say your family, do you mean like your wife and children, or are you talking about like your siblings and your parents?
I'm talking more of my siblings and my parents.
Okay. Yeah.
Like my dad, like it's hard for him to discern all these things.
Yeah.
And if they would come to it and say, Papa, we did some really wrong things and we're going to probably be locked up for a little while, and quit blaming it on my children, on my daughters.
Yeah.
He would just be like, he would probably be very devastated. But instead, they're lying, and they're telling him, I'm not going to go there and try to convince him different. Like, I maybe look at that wrong, but it's like, if he wants to know the truth, he's going to have to come ask me if he wants to know. And I don't know why I feel that way, because I think it's just kind of like a waste of air to try to convince someone when they don't want to be convinced or don't want to know the truth.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
You're absolutely right. It's a waste of air.
And the Bible talks about those people that love truth are going to be the wisest people on earth. If you don't love truth, you're going to settle for a lie.
Right.
And so many people are just settling for a lie. Like they're very angry at us, and they're like, just they have told people things. I mean the shame on social media and all over the place has been just like, it's like bullying, I guess, cyberbullying or whatever.
Yeah.
It's been incredible.
Yes.
People got drug into saying things that didn't even know what they're talking about. They had no idea, you know. And I approached this one dad and I said, can you and I talk? And he said, oh, I just want to stay out of it. And I said, well, if you're going to stay out of it, then stay out of it. But don't be having your children post things on social media and then tell me you want to stay out of it. Because, brother, that's not going to work. You know, if you're going to say things on social media, then we need to have a talk. But again, there was no conversation because they don't want to know the truth.
It's so heartbreaking, everything that you and your family have been through. Keturah's here. Hey, Keturah.
Hello.
Come join us.
Come say hi to your dad.
Hey.
I'm so sorry for everything that you and your family have gone through and the way people have treated you. Like, it's so not okay and so not godly. But I'm just really amazed and inspired by your graciousness towards these people that have hurt you, and the way you talk about them so kindly,
yeah,
even after everything that they did to you and all the nasty things that they said to you. And I just think that is such a testament to,
you know, I think of, like, again, like, Christ forgave us so well, you know, so perfectly, right? And I think, I don't want to say that these words are very sacred words, but Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. And I almost don't feel, you know, I do and I don't, but Jesus did tell us that we're his brothers and sisters. We're not we're not his little minions that operate below him. And
right. And
so we can claim that. And he also says that he doesn't have secrets.
Right. Like,
he tells him, he told his disciples, he said, you know these things, because I tell you everything. Like, I'm not this king and you're my servants. I am your brother. And if you understand how the setting was in that time, they were used to the king. And when the servant was told to go at midnight to go shoot a deer to feed everybody, they did. They asked no questions. Yeah. And if they asked questions, they were killed. Like, they obeyed, especially the heathen kings. So I say that very, like, I believe those words, you know, but I think a lot of people have said things and done things. And haven't we all, and sometimes, said things and done things that we didn't know what we were talking about?
Oh, yeah.
I want to just, like, encourage us to not, I believe the true fruits of the Spirit is when we don't look different, but we act different.
Oh,
amen.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yes.
And we don't want to be, you know, the Bible talks about being strangers and pilgrims in this land.
Right.
Nowhere does it call us to be strange pilgrims.
Yep.
Did you mean that to be funny?
Well, it is funny, right?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
But it's also very serious. Like, we don't need to be these weirdos.
Right.
What comes out of our mouth should be different. We should act different. And we should talk different. If we're going to be the salt of the earth and we look like a strange pilgrim, people are going to walk around us like 20 foot away and wonder what for.
Right.
Where
they came from. I know this for a fact. Yeah, same.
The wheel of Jesus, I call it a wheel. You know, there's a wheel and the hub is Jesus Christ. And those wheels, and I say wheels as in churches, are still rolling. And the hub has been long gone. And they're still rolling down the road.
Yep.
And the hub, the Jesus Christ is missing from that center. And they're operating on their own understandings. And how else could you blame a sin on an innocent little child versus the predator?
Right.
Like, it is insane.
Yeah. Well, you had so much good stuff to say. You've really inspired me personally.
I'm encouraged.
Same. I feel so, like, encouraged and inspired, and also just, like, I'm ready to go out there and just speak some truth, you know?
And I'm not even trying to be funny. Like, I'm genuinely, I've not felt encouraged in a minute. Like,
right? So thank you so much for being on the podcast and for, like, sharing all of this wisdom. I'm so excited.
Is there a possibility we could have you on again? Because I think that there's so much more that you could say.
I would love that. But yeah. I would like to circle back. Lizzie, you like a good time.
Huh?
But that whole thing with strangers and pilgrims, you know, what that means is if we're called to be a stranger and pilgrim to this land, is we're not supposed to be so closely knit with the things around us that we can't let it go. Like, I think it's little things like stopping and helping someone change a flat tire,
right?
You know, our schedules. I have never done this that didn't happen, but if I walk out the door and I purpose to set an hour aside, God fills that hour up with something good every time. But if I schedule it tight, you know, we need to be more expecting and be that person that's not tied down to a grumpy schedule.
I love that. New like, goal for the week.
Let's allow time. I'm talking to myself too.
Yeah.
Allow time for God. Allow time for, you know, the workplace has become my church here a lot of times. You know, like the one guy, and I don't even know if anybody else knows this, but one of our employees brought his son to work the other day, and he said, "Ben, I just need you to pray for him. He's going through some things in his life."
Oh, know? Wow. I love that.
That's what I want to do.
You know,
I want to be that person that no one's afraid of, that I, except for the young men that are trying to date my daughters. Too young. but that young man, I'm okay if he's a little bit intimidated. But other than that, I think we all know
who we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, would you like to pray to kind of finish out the podcast and just pray for all of our listeners? That's usually how we close out an episode.
Okay, sure. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this hour, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity. We think of modern technology and how often I've prayed, Lord, the truth could be told. And Ashley, we didn't even talk about a tenth of the truth, the things that have been done wrongly to girls and to young people that have caused me to step back and look at this situation in a different way. But Father, we know that you care. We think of how you will not just quench a smoking reed, but you'll fan it back to life. And we just thank you, Father, for that grace and that all the mercy that you've shown us. And we pray for our listeners tonight. Father, we pray that through our weakness, Lord, you make us strong, and we thank you. And we pray, Father, our listeners, if there's someone that is feeling too weak to call 911 or talk to someone, a counselor that will guide them the right way, Father. There are many others. There's Robert Riesecker, very close to us. Lord, I pray that you would bless them men that are willing to help. They are there 24 mm-hmm. hours a day. Father, I pray that I know that there are other dads that are experiencing these things that don't know what to do. And I just pray that somehow we could reach them.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.